everybody. Welcome to a leaner and meaner version of the Friday Filibuster. We have taken the advice of Michelle Obama, and we've really tried to trim back the obesity here. So we're going to get you in and out of this podcast in record time, I reckon, because there's only two of us here. It's kind of a flashback to the old days when I was just Mac and I doing this thing. But I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre. Mac, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. And I guess we can just kind of we had a little meet up over the weekend to go see a movie, and we've been making it a ritual these days to connect and go see movies that involve Michelle Rodriguez possibly flying helicopters. Because prior to this movie we saw was Avatar, and she was, of course, renowned for helicopter aviation skills then. And the movie, of course, is Battle Los Angeles. So we're going to kind of give you our joint review here, which is apparently turned out to be we saw it on Saturday, but just kind of looking at the reaction, it strikes me as being a fairly polarizing film. Would you agree with that, Mac?
Seems to be. I mean, it did really well at the box office, but
right.
Critics haven't been kind.
Not at all. I mean, just like the negative reviews are harsh. Really harsh. And I mean, I'll get right to it. I enjoyed it probably a little more than you, but going into the theater, what did I tell you? I said, like, here's what I'm hoping for. Like a Black Hawk Down with aliens and kick-ass Marines and, you know, cool action. And, you know, that's pretty much what I was looking for. I mean, whether that is, is that going to win an Oscar? No, but, you know, that's what I was hoping to get. And for the most part, I thought that's what I got out of it. You know, and I just had a good time with it. And it was such a visceral, loud, exciting experience. You know, I came away satisfied.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing people's reactions. I think the best thing the movie has going for it is its simplicity.
You know? Right.
It promises tough guys shooting at aliens, and it delivers tough guys shooting at aliens, and there's no more, no less.
I mean, it really is kind of a boiled down to the elements. And I mean, I recognize, you know, it's not a perfect. I mean, there's flaws, obviously. I mean, they indulge in the military, in the war movie cliches. And by the way, this is more of a war movie. And like a science fiction fantasy film.
That's true. It's basically they took a war movie script and they could just kind of dress it up with
aliens. Yes, populated it with some aliens. There's not a lot of mythology. Zero mythology, really. Like, we just piece together talking heads on CNN to try to find out what the aliens are. So it's not like you're getting into this mythology. But again, I think that's purposeful, right? I mean, you kind of just – you're with these Marines, and you're just kind of following them through this craziness that's happening. You know, I mean, things don't really expand until towards the end, you know, when they try to take out, not the mothership, but like kind of the big boss at the end. But yeah, it's just a very simple, you know, simple story that they're telling. But again, that's okay.
That same simplicity, though, is, I think, what's causing a lot of the criticisms. People keep saying, oh, it's just like playing, it's like watching a video game.
Right. I could see, again, I could grant that. So I can see the cliches and the shaky cam. Both of us were like, "Hey, a little too much," especially because it wasn't all shaky cam. You know, there were times where the director would pull back. You know, we'd get like these steady, sweeping, establishing shots. So it's not like, you know, it's not like it was all shaky cam. It wasn't like a Cloverfield documentary style. You know, so there was some of his stylistic choices were a little. I mean, I thought it worked during the action scenes, but you probably didn't need to be so all over the place during the downtime. What else? Any other thoughts since you've had a couple days to digest it?
Yeah, it's just again going back to the movie's simplistic nature. You know, I think in this case for this movie, I think it works. You know. When we talked about it before, we were throwing around Avatar because of the what's her name,
right? Michelle Rodriguez being the right. I actually think this is almost an inverse of Avatar, and she's like the fulcrum. But go ahead.
But yeah, and you know, Avatar is attempting not just a sci-fi action, but it's also attempting, you know, big ideas, and it has a big important message.
Yes,
and they're name dropping all sorts of you know, buzzwords like shock and awe campaign and stuff.
Right.
And Battle Los Angeles was kind of free from all of that, you know, big ideas and big messages. And it was just, you know, get right to the action. And in other movies that might not work, but I think in the case of this movie specifically, it does work. You know, you look at The Dark Knight. There's right. a movie that has a lot of big ideas and a lot of big important themes that it's dealing with. And I think for that's what worked for that movie. You know, if Dark Knight had been nothing but Batman throwing gangsters off of roofs for 2 hours.
Right, absolutely. And shaky cam, right?
Right, yeah. It wouldn't have been, you know, as well-regarded as it is. So.
And even a movie like District 9, Mac, which we kind of talked about going in this movie, because we, you know, it's kind of universal acclaim here in the filibuster that big climactic action scene in District 9 was like the standard bearer for gritty urban alien combat, right. you know, for lack of a better word. But that's so rewarding, you know, because there was a time and investment made in the plot and the characters, you know, and that's fine. And there were some big messages going in District 9. So, I mean, the question I have is just, why can't there be room for something like Battle LA, which knows exactly what it's going for and tries to execute that?
Yeah, exactly. It's because, you know, sometimes a simple is good, simple works, and other right. times it doesn't. And sometimes trying, you know, to have big ideas and big themes works for one movie and might not work for another. So, you know, it's, you know, it all depends on context, etc. So I think as far as context goes, Battle Los Angeles really succeeds for what it does.
Right. I mean, and what did you draw a distinction between simple and simplistic, maybe? You think that's – I mean, I think you can have big themed movies, and my, you know, my problems with Avatar, and, you know, we share a lot of those, are well documented, you know. So as big as a movie that was with all the messages and themes, I thought it was kind of pulled off simplistically, you know. I mean, it wasn't a simple movie, but there was a lot of stuff that was simplistic to me, you know. So maybe and that just occurred to me now, so maybe I'm just talking out of my butt. But, you know, I think, you know, again, I just don't – it just seems like some of the harsh criticism, and especially like, I mean, Ebert was like, you're an idiot if you like this movie. I mean, just harsh. I'm having a hard time seeing where it's warranted. I mean, I can see where it had problems with shaky cam, and I mean, the writing wasn't great, but it was typical kind of grunt speak, you know? It was,
yeah.
It was enough for me to kind of, you know, to care who lived or died in the Marine squad, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, let's not oversell the movie. There is a lot of, you know, sort of those military cliches.
Sure.
You know, there's the overconfident guy gets, you know, shell shocked halfway through. That's, and
the smart lieutenant with no combat experience, right?
That's right. Yeah, and there's the young rookie, you know, and so on.
Yeah, and the pregnant wife at home.
Oh yes.
Who we know as soon as we saw that, we knew he was a goner.
And every other line of dialogue is move, move, move.
That's right.
Move.
Right.
But. So let's not oversell the movie, but, you know.
Although, to be fair, I mean, I don't know. To be, again, to kind of counter that a little bit, and you're right. I mean, this isn't winning any awards for writing, for sure. But, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of, if the Marines were in this situation, taking away any kind of story-driven dialogue, you know, if they're just barking orders at each other and kind of talking in this grunt speak, I mean, isn't that kind of accurate? Isn't that okay?
I suppose so. I'm just getting tired of action movies where people shout, move, 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 move.
yeah.
The other thing I was going to say is that Battle Los Angeles, there's a whole lot of times in the movie where the whole flick could have gone really off the rails.
That's a good point. So, like, talk about some of that. What do you think? And I agree with you. I think we talked about this after the movie. Right. But, like, what are some moments where you think where the whole thing could have cratered?
Well, the Marines' objective actually isn't just to blow up aliens. They're trying to rescue this group of civilians.
Right.
And get the civilians to safety during the alien attack. That's the plot.
Right.
And they find the civilians, and what happens? There's little kids in the group. There's two little kids.
That's right. And that's a red flag.
Yes. As soon as we saw the little kids, I thought, oh, here we go.
I know. Like little fonts of wisdom, and they're all going to be precocious, and it's going to be like Full House.
But fortunately, there were the kids. The kids didn't hijack the movie.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so they were there. They were important part of the plot, but they didn't take over the whole movie with their adorableness.
I mean, essentially, I can't even picture them right now, and whether that's good or bad, I don't know. It depends. But I mean, essentially, they were there as elements to generate suspense. Probably in the movie's best action scene, which I think we agreed on, where there's a big shootout on the freeway. You know, there's this huge kind of face-off on the freeway, and, like, the generator of suspense was, like, okay, getting these civilians and these kids, you know, off of the freeway, you know, out of the line of fire. You know, so that's happening off to the side. So that's kind of generating this. And then, but then, you know, the aliens are coming from all levels. You're seeing some new equipment being shown out. You're starting to see Marines, you know, get wiped out and stuff. So, I mean, that was probably the biggest and most exciting action sequence. But you're right, the kids there were just like, essentially, you know, holy crap, hope the kids don't get shot, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we make a lot of jokes about Michelle Rodriguez. She didn't, like, take over the movie either.
She didn't. I was shocked. I think I turned to you and I said, wow, this movie might actually make me like Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, again, she played, a soldier, but it really wasn't close to some of the ham-fisted stuff. You know, she's not, you know, that's another thing. She wasn't out there emasculating the other Marine,
right.
You know? And they weren't, like, being frat boy dickheads either. You know,
that's true.
Yeah. They were like, you know, it's not like, oh, I don't want to fight with. I mean, they said it was one question. He like Aaron Eckhart's character, you know, can he use that gun? Said yes. Then everyone was on board. You know, yeah. So it wasn't like, you know, I can't believe the girl outshot me. You know,
even that wasn't because she was a woman. It's because she's Air Force.
That's true. That's another good point. Yeah, it wasn't because she was a woman. It was because. So you know, I like that. I like as well as many cliches as there were, and I'll admit to that. I'm glad that they dodged a few of those other ones, like. You know, douchebag, over-masculine, hyped guy who, you know, doesn't want to fight with a woman or something. You know, so yeah, she definitely kept it a little low-key, even kind of vulnerable in some points. I'm trying to think, where else?
And, you know, we talked about, you know, simple and simplistic. I think the freeway shootout there was sort of deceptively simple because it's such a busy scene. There's, like, different levels of action, you know. We've got stuff going on in the skies. We're seeing new types of aliens. We've got stuff going on kind of at the ground level with, you know, the Marines are kind of scrambling and, like, just trying to hold a line. And then we've got a lower scene beneath that where the kids are being lowered down off of the
freeway to
safety. So it's sort of three levels of story happening at once. And with the editing and whatnot, you know, it's all staged very effectively, so we never lose track of who is where or what's happening. So it's a really, really busy scene with a lot happening, but, you know, we're able to follow it all, and it's really exciting and suspenseful. So, you know, you talk about how do you write an action scene? Well, you're not writing every kick and punch, or you're not writing every, bullet, you know, but you're staging the scene. You know, you're saying, what's happening here? What's happening here? What's this character doing? What does this character want? And then putting all those pieces together, you create, that's how you create the big action scene. And I think the creators of Battle Los Angeles did that really well with that scene.
Yeah, that's a great point too. And again, you know, I'll state that there were moments where the shaky cam was distracting. You know, in the quieter moments, or just like, you know, can we just look at these guys talk to each other without it feeling like an earthquake? But I never once felt like the action scenes were impossible to follow. You know, right. I never felt that way. Even though there was shaky cam and the battlefield cam, I like you said, you had a good sense of geography. You knew where things were. Where things were happening. And, I mean, really talk about sound work. I mean, and we weren't in like this gigantic IMAX theater, but it still was loud and aggressive.
Yeah, we couldn't get into IMAX because Justin Bieber's movie was at the IMAX.
That's right, we asked about that. I think we asked about that. And the other thing we asked, like, could you imagine this movie being in 3D? That'd be impossible, you know? And we'd be barfing all over the people in front of us, I think. I don't know. So I guess just kind of wrapping it up. I mean, I think just a lot of the things that worked for me were, I mean, everything we talked about, just the well-staged action, you know, I mean, it was just, again, it was nice to see, you know, Aaron Eckhart was quoted in interviews saying it was a love letter to the Marines. And you're right. It was nice to see, hey, here's these Marines. They're not douches. They're not raping anybody. You know, they're like honor bound brotherhood and sisterhood. You know, they're not being a-holes. And really, I mean, they're good guys the whole way through. So again, maybe if you wanted more nuance, there you go. But you know, you can find that elsewhere. You know, go anywhere you want. But you know, like when I talk about the inverse of Avatar, you know, in Avatar, you had all these ex-Marines who were psychopaths, every single one of them. You know, like they didn't mind that they were going around nuking cat toddlers. They had no problem with it. So.
There are a lot of really great movies that kind of paint the military in that gray area. You know,
that's right. Go watch those movies, right?
Yeah, you know, so you know, There's room for both, I think.
I agree. So I guess, yeah. So, like, why can't there be room for, you know, this hoorah Marines movie, you know, and they're fighting aliens and there's a lot of action. It's not trying to be anything more. You're not getting, you get what, the briefest mention of what the aliens want, right? They want our water, you know, and this is what happens when you colonize. But if you read any kind of politics into that, you're really stretching. So, I mean, maybe that's what's driving a lot of that. You know, I'm not going to. I certainly wouldn't call someone who hated the movie an idiot at all, you know, but I just don't see why there can't be room for something like this. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a fun movie, you know.
Yeah.
It's you know, as they say, check your brain at the door, as the phrase, I think.
Yeah.
And, just, you know, just go in, just, you know, enjoy some sweet action.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So we'll see. I don't know if that's enough to change anyone's minds, but... We at the Friday Filibuster got a kick out of it. So that's pretty much half of our show right now because it's the two of us. But I thought maybe we can actually, let's just really quick, Mac, are you working on anything you want to bring attention to?
Well, from one alien invasion to the other, I'm working on a review of Skyline just coming out.
Yes, right. Now, I think didn't these guys do the effects for Battle LA or something like that?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
It's the Strauss brothers. They've done effects for a lot of movies.
They did Alien vs. Predator Requiem, which was
that's right.
Possible directed to look at.
Alien vs. Predator, you know, pizza delivery boy. So that movie was not a big success. And for Skyline, they have allegedly raised the money themselves. The condo in the movie is actually one of the brothers' actual condo where he lives. And so they've attempted to go, you know, quote unquote indie on this one, but then Universal Studios and Brett Ratner stepped in and helped them get it distributed. So is that really indie?
Probably not.
I don't know. Well, that's a debate for another time. But yeah, so Los Angeles attacked by aliens, but this time instead of Marines, we got, you know, the incredibly rich, beautiful young people in their 20s. And
yeah, you're losing me already.
So yeah, the you know, all the beautiful rich 20 somethings are attacked by aliens, and they do some interesting things. It's the aliens aren't so much attacking with bombs and missiles, but they shine these lights on everyone. People get mesmerized by the lights, and then they get sucked up into the ships. So there's some interesting ideas in it, but I don't know. It's just the movie does a lot of things right. You know, it sets up the characters. It establishes a lot of tension between the characters as they're fleeing from the aliens, and all that should be a good thing, but there's something just kind of missing from Skyline. There's some kind of integral, I don't know what, I don't want to say heart, but there's some kind of, you know, just sort of essential piece that's just, I just wasn't feeling it, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, they seem to be kinder too. I didn't hear many flattering things when it came out. So.
Yeah, I will say that the special effects are definitely neato.
Okay, that's good.
So if you look at the movie kind of as an effects reel, you'll probably get a lot more out of it.
Nice. And neato special effects. Let's see. On my end, a couple things no one would be interested in, but I did. Sometimes I'll get these old school British movies that Acorn re-releases, and TV series, rather. And one was I just watched was Man in a Suitcase.
Okay.
And as I stated in my review, it is not the GIMP. I repeat, it is not the GIMP. So just
basket case.
Let me describe the plot, and you tell me if this reminds you of anything that a TV show that's currently on. A former spy who is unfairly booted out of the CIA now works as a private detective.
Yeah. Does he have a? An Irish girlfriend?
Yeah, no, unfortunately not, but it's very Burn Notice-y. Rather, Burn Notice is very Man in a Suitcase-y. So, yeah, but anyway, it's, you know, interesting cultural artifact, you know, filmed in the 60s, so I got a lot of Soviet punching, which we're always up for here. But, you know, a little kind of slow moving, you know, again, I'm probably spoiled from 24 and whatnot. However, it needs to be said, though, that this guy, his name is Mac McGill, his cool. Badass spy. He does walk around with a prototype jack sack.
Nice.
So there you go. He's just breaking barriers. So that review should be out shortly, but that's all I'll talk about. So what do we got? We'll conclude with our usual taking a sneak peek at what's coming out, Max. So where are we looking?
All right, we're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. We're going to go to the cover art gallery for March 22nd. Just going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray.
So what is this first one, Adventures of a Teenage Dragon Slayer?
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
I mean, is it a live action? I don't know anything. Is it live action? Is it CGI? No idea. No, Leah Thompson is in it.
I don't know. It's kind of under the radar. It could be, cheese, or it could be brilliant.
What else do we have here?
I know we say this every week, but man, there's a lot of sleaze on the list this week.
There is. Let's see. More. I guess we're gonna see more of these Doomsday Earth 2012.
Oh, I'm sure.
This will get closer.
We have The Bat as an old-school horror movie with Vincent Price. And the disc comes with a T-shirt.
Not bad. You know, yes. You know, DVD, you know, studio has a lot of faith in the quality of the DVD when they release T-shirts along with them.
I hope it actually comes with the T-shirt and it's not like you send away for the T-shirt.
Here's a this is on my docket. I haven't watched it yet, but you said you were familiar with this movie, Fire Breather, the Cartoon Network movie.
That's right, yeah, based on the Image comic book. Yeah, it's not bad. You know, I talk about the dragons. It's this kid is half human, half dragon, and has trouble fitting in, and he battles evil. So,
it definitely. Speaking of Avatar, doesn't it look like one of the Jake Sully's Avatar on the right there?
It kind of does. Yeah, I wonder if that was intentional or not.
And right next to Fire Breather is Flambards, which I don't know anything about, but I'm pretty sure if you called someone a Flambard, that'd be a hate crime.
Let's see, we have the new live-action version of Yogi Bear from last Christmas.
Yes. Someone lucky will be getting that to review. Who will it be?
I actually did not see that one. Oh, and Dave, there's Venture Brothers.
Yes, actually, I should have mentioned that because I did review Venture Brothers. This was a weird season. It's one of those seasons where they split it up. You know, they did a bunch in 2009 and 2010. So this is the complete fourth season. And again, something I was talking to you about before, but just a little uneven in the beginning. You know, they did a lot of changes to it. You know, they killed off a main character. You know, Henchman 24. Which he made up one of the funniest duos on the show. So that was a huge risk. They banished Brock, brought in Sergeant Hatred, who unfortunately subjected us to way too many pedophile jokes. You know, again, you maybe get away with one in one show. It was a little too much. And then, you know, favorites like Dr. Orpheus, he wasn't around at all in the beginning. So I was kind of getting a little perturbed. I was like, this is what's happening here. I mean, I could respect that these guys taking chances, they want to shake things up, but right. It just seemed detrimental. You know, it certainly wasn't the Venture Brothers I'd come to know and love. However, I mean, really around the midway point, things, you know, really visibly turned around. Brock came back, and you're seeing some of these supporting characters. Hank and Dean were getting, you know, getting more stuff. There's some great, you know, some great fake villains. You know, that show's great when they get into, like, the bureaucracy of villainy.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, there's one where Phantom Limb is trying to start his own revenge society. That's what it's called, his own villain cabal. And they're interviewing, you know, possible villains, you know, which is pretty hilarious. They ended up settling on a guy called Fat Chance. And it's just this overweight guy who has a question mark on his shirt. And the bottom point of the question mark is a portal that leads to dimension. So basically, he reaches in and he pulls out random items from another dimension. So it's pretty funny. So overall, on balance, even though I thought it was a little shaky, on balance, I thought you know, the show really righted itself. And there was some really brilliant, funny stuff. Some of my favorite episodes were in the fourth season where Hank, there's a whole show devoted to Hank, and it's this black and white noir detective show. It's just classic. So I do recommend it regardless.
That's good.
Boy, is this not the most... I mean, is this not the most, like, sophomoric name for DVD release? Uncle Farts 70s Grindhouse Sleaze Fest. Can I get more tasteless? Here's The Tourist.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Depp.
And my wife had seen it as, like, you know, I had seen it advertised. I thought, yeah, this might be pretty good. And it was not well regarded, apparently. Hey, Stand By Me on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, man, I haven't seen that movie in ages. You can see all the puke scene in the high def.
Yes, yes.
All the detail that you've never been able to notice before.
Anything else jump out at you?
Let's see, not too much, I guess, but there is certainly a lot on here.
You know, feel free to peruse and purchase and support DVD Verdict. So, let's just, why don't we just wrap up this edition of the Friday Filibuster with our inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. What do you find, Mac?
Let's see, how about Funk Guitar Licks You Should Know?
That's good. I will go with The Lost Missile. Right next to a decidedly unerotic release, Marcus Welby, MD, The Best of Season 1. So, all right, so that is that. So, like I said, a shortened, sexy Friday filibuster for you. Thanks for tuning in again. I am Judge David Johnson, Mac McIntyre. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is our email address. Facebook.com/Friday Filibuster is our Facebook address. So feel free to go there and tell us that we're giant idiots for even daring to like Battle Los Angeles. And if you're Michelle Rodriguez, I think we're on the road to forgiveness. So we shall see. Mac, is there anything else? Take it away.
Retreat? Hell.